All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matt T. Juice! There's not really multiple syllables with juice. I was going to juice, but I couldn't do it. You know, it sounded a little weird. But yeah, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 54. Can you believe it? We're in that second swing here. Had a banger last week with Halls of Torment. Excited to see what we're playing this week. Tommy, what are we playing for the listeners?
That's a great question. No, we are playing Kill Knight this week. Out now on Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch for $14.99. Developed and published by PlaySide. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But before we do that, we got to catch up. It's been a busy weekend for both of us. What have you been up to?
Yeah, a lot of things going on lately. Let's see. Saturday over the weekend, did a long, nice Once Human stream. Was that Saturday?
That was Sunday.
That was Sunday. So Saturday, I actually went to Atlantic City to go see The Price is Right live. Which, for those who don't know, Price is Right is a game show that normally is taped in Hollywood, but they do like a live version of it, and they kind of tour the U.S. with it. And it was fun. Yeah, we got tickets for my dad for his birthday earlier in the year, so finally the date came around. It was a good time. None of us got called down to be on the show, but they were calling a bunch of people. Actually, the group behind us had two people that got called, so that was pretty cool. Someone won a trip to Dublin, someone won a trip to New Orleans. There was like a car up there, you know, a bunch of trips and everything, giving away money, all that sort of stuff. So it was pretty cool, you know, but I do have to say that the people, like the Price is Right fandom, they're pretty intense people, you know, like they are like, even my dad at one point was getting mad because people were cutting in line. And I'm like, we have assigned seats, Dad. Like, it's going to be okay. It's all this sort of stuff was going on. But it was fun overall. I would see it again, too. Like, it was kind of cool seeing a game show live, especially on, like, the East Coast where they don't really do a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. Sunday did a long Once Human stream, which is a great time. Great chat with people in there. Capolo, shout out to him. He actually popped into the stream. So shout out to Capolo coming on in, saying what's up. Yeah. Today or last night, I also revealed that I was in a Mr. Beast video. Oh my God. So a few weeks ago, I had been flown out to North Carolina to one of his studios with a bunch of other guys that kind of look like him. And we were in a video. I posted it actually in the Fresh Juice Discord, so be sure you're in that if you're not already, and if you want to check that video out. But I couldn't really talk about it a few weeks ago, and now I can because the video has been published. So, I'm in a YouTube short with a bunch of lookalikes of Mr. Beast. I do get a little screen time, which is cool.
You certainly do. I knew this was happening because you kind of – well, I didn't know. This was all a surprise to me. I thought L.A.
No. It was North Carolina. That's where he's from. So he's Greenville, North Carolina. So it was he's got a few different studios. We didn't go to his main one, which apparently is like huge. We went because we were just doing a YouTube short. They kind of have like a little satellite sort of studio. And it used to be a church. So that was kind of weird. But they made it obviously look like a studio. It's like actually we had to fly into Raleigh, and then it was like an hour and a half drive to Greenville. I guess it's like more east than Raleigh, I guess. But so North Carolina, not too far, but there were some people that traveled pretty far. Some people, you know, one guy from London, another from Canada, people from California, you know, were there. So, it was cool. But yeah, you would think it would be, you know, with his big production, it would be on the West Coast, but no, he's got everything on the East Coast.
I guess so. I mean, I'm sure that, like, I know, like, Georgia has, like, some special, like, tax laws and stuff like that to attract people to kind of do productions there. It's like most of The Walking Dead was filmed in Georgia, so I don't know if North Carolina has, maybe something similar, or it's just because that's where he's from, and it's also just cheaper there.
Especially
if you're just doing YouTube, right? And it's like you don't need Hollywood to really do it,
right? So
that's very cool. Yeah,
there you go.
It was pretty crazy. Like as soon as it happened, my fiance was like, "Wait, did Matt's video go out?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Because she showed me the group chat with, you know, all the girls. And I was like, "Oh, it's out." I'm like looking. I'm like, "Oh, no way." It was pretty crazy. And just, I mean, just a little bit more views than this podcast gets.
Just a little bit more. Yeah. I actually, when I was there, he asked if we could promote his channel on the podcast to hopefully get some more views over there. So if you haven't checked out, it's this guy, Mr. Beast. You go check him out.
No freebies.
You're right. You're right. You know, if you're looking to sponsor the show,
Beast,
Feastables, feel free to reach out to our business email.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know who Mr. Beast was until people started telling you that you looked like him. And I still thought it was the L.A. Beast, the other YouTuber that used to just like eat. Like drink a whole gallon of olive oil and stuff like that. And I was I mean, I don't think Matt looks like the LA Beast. And then it's like, no, Mr. Beast. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Was that LA Beast's father? I'm not sure, but, that is pretty sick. It's very, very cool. I wasn't in any big YouTube videos this weekend that I know of. Went to a 30th birthday party, a death to our friend's 20s party, as they phrased it. That was very fun. It was a good time. We were all the way up in way, way North Jersey in Sussex County. Okay. And, you know, we slept over there. And then the next day we had a wedding that was a vegan wedding, which, you know, I think some people would be a little bit hesitant to be like, a vegan wedding, what are we going to eat? Yada, yada, yada. And I went with an open mind. I can eat vegan if I choose to. Like, I like a lot of vegan options. And to be honest, the only thing I really don't like about vegan food is the vegan substitutes, really. They're technically not that good. It's like, well, if I'm not going to have beef, I just won't have beef. Or if I'm not going to have chicken, I just won't have chicken. But, you know, went with an open mind. Cocktail hour was good. I posted the picture in the Fresh Juice Discord. Which we'll get to in the news section, of a nice like spread with like a lot of different hummuses and dips and veggies and like focaccia bread, and that was really good. They had impossible burgers, like sliders, that were really good as well, like on like Martin's potato buns and stuff. And like a little mashed potato bar, and the fake cheese actually was pretty good with the mashed potato bar, and that was all good. Unfortunately, the dinner was not good. There were two options, both vegan options. And I got the shepherd's pie, which was like fine. I've made vegan shepherd's pie before, like just like without meat or anything like that. You just don't use gravy. You use like a wine base or whatever. And it could be good. This was like pretty mid. And the Brussels sprouts it came with were like whatever. And then Lady Fresh, she got like a rigatoni. It came out, it was like cold. And it was just like, even at one point when they were doing the past hors d'oeuvres, where like they're walking around with appetizers, I asked the one lady, I'm like, "Oh, what is this?" She's like, "Vegetables? I don't know." I was like, "All right, I'll try it."
Yay.
So, I mean, but it was very funny because it was in the hotel that we stayed at. And we get back to our room, and I was like, "You want to check out DoorDash?" And we DoorDashed Wawa to the hotel.
They're going to be like, "And we got Chick-fil-A."
Yeah. She got like a chicken sandwich from Wawa. I got a pepperoni pizza. I was just like, I go down to get it, and I grab it from the DoorDasher, and I get back into the elevator, and I'm going back up, and there were some other people in the elevator, and there's a bunch of weddings happening, or like they must have been, because there were like parties that we didn't know. And I was like, oh, you guys go to a wedding tonight? They're like, yeah, a vegan one. I'm like, oh, I was at that one. And they're like, oh, no way. I was like, this is why I have this. They're like, oh, that's a good call. I'm like, yeah, I DoorDashed it. So that was interesting. And today I went out to work and whatever. It was a long, boring meeting. But pet peeve number one, staying in a hotel last night. Wake up to a 6 a.m. alarm. The last person to stay in that room had set a 6 a.m. alarm, which awesome. I was going to get up at 6:30 anyway to like go to the gym before work and stuff like that, but the extra 30 minutes would have been nice.
Yeah. Were you like, when that went off, were you just like, you know, sometimes when I wake up from something that I did not set, I am so confused of where I even am. Did that happen to you?
Because I didn't know where the alarm clock was. Yeah. And I was like slamming the nightstand. I'm like, where is it? I hit my glasses off the table. It was a nightmare. And then, you know, obviously I'm up early, a little tired. It's going to be a long meeting. It was like an all day meeting. And because it was the launch day of our holiday beer, which is like a really heavy Belgian beer, 11%. Mm. So go there, first half of the meeting in the morning, and they're like, okay, we're providing lunch for you all today. They're making pizza in their pizza oven that they have at the brewery, which is pretty cool. But it's like, oh, first let's try the beer. You know, it's the day it comes out. Let's all sample it. So we're sampling 11% Belgian beer, and then I'm going to follow it by having a ton of carbs with the pizza. Yeah. And then have to do another 3 hours of meetings after. I was struggling. And then I had to drive 2 hours home. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, my God. I mean, luckily now, like, I got home. I had dinner. So, like, I'm like, But when I got home, I was like, I think I need to lay down for, like, 15 minutes. But
yeah. Well, hey, if you need to take a nap in the middle of the episode, that's totally fine. Just, like, give me the head nod and then just start drifting and it's no problem. And also, I thought you were going to say, we got lunch for you guys. It's vegan shepherd's pie. Oh, who here's vegan?
We're trying something new. That would have been, I mean, that would have been pretty funny. I was just like, I can't escape it, but it's been a long, long weekend. It's going to be a long week, but we do got to get to some news. And as I said, we do have a Discord, the Fresh Juice Discord. It's a great place to check out everything that's happening with the podcast, play games with us, see, even suggest some news for us to take a look at, as well as anything else, suggest games, stuff like that. But the Golden Joystick Award, we talked about this the other day. Not the other day, a couple weeks ago. The nominations are out.
Yes. So for those who don't know, the Golden Joystick Awards, I feel like it's a underrated kind of award ceremony. It's almost like it's overshadowed by the Game Awards, but it is still a very important, you know, event for gaming. And most notably with these nominations, I kind of want to go through like the indie game ones. There's two different categories of indie games. We have Best Indie Game, and then we also have Best Indie Game Self-Published. So a little different than what the, you know, I believe it was the Game Awards, right, that had kind of the teams less than 10 category. And then there was also, or maybe it was Golden Joystick, but this says self-published here. So that makes me think it's a different sort of category. But regardless, we do have some interesting ones here with Best Indie Game. I'm going to read them out. And we can see which ones we think will win, or which one we think will win.
Yeah, so we have
Animal Well, Arco, Balatro, of course, Beyond Galaxy Land, not sure what that is, Conscript, Indica, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, Thank Goodness You're Here, The Plucky Squire, and Ultros. So those are for Best Indie Game. We haven't played most of these.
Yeah.
That's an indie podcast, right? But what do you think about this, Tom?
So I played Arco. So, and I played obviously a lot of Baltro, Animal Well. I know that Plucky Squire got a decent amount of press.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't really, I hadn't heard a lot about these other games. I mean, I think that, I mean, Baltro's got to be the front runner or Animal Well. Arco is getting a lot of great press as well, and I do think that game is pretty sick. I just don't think it has the appeal that Animal Well and Baltro has. And from what I hear, the Plucky Squire is good but not great, but certainly worth the nomination. So, I mean, I'm definitely pulling. I mean, there are games I've played, but pulling for Baltro here. And I can't imagine it not winning, to be honest. Because Animal Well was great, but it hasn't stayed in the zeitgeist as much. Yeah. Arco is pretty recent, so people are still talking about that. Same with Plucky Squire. But I'll be interested to see what wins here. I don't know. I mean, Baltro, I think it's got to be Baltro.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You know, even though, you know, I haven't played a few of these games on here, I am interested to see if any of them pull ahead and actually win this. It's definitely a game I think we should try out on the show. Just because I haven't even, you know, we're pretty in tune, I would say, with the indie gaming space. There are a lot of games that do come out, but we typically, you know, when we choose games, we're looking at like everything that is coming out the next week and the next week and the next week. And there's some of these here, I don't even recognize their names. So if any of those kind of pulled ahead and win, I'd be interested to, you know, experience that game and kind of see why people think it should win best indie game. But I agree. I think Baltro is like a front runner. It's something that like it really hit the mainstream, I would say, with gaming in general. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like you look at Animal Well and you are like, okay, that's an indie game, right? You look at Baltro and I just feel like it almost could compete for game of the year, you know? You know, Animal Well is definitely a close second, but yeah, I'm thinking Baltro kind of takes this one home. But we'll see. And then we also... sorry, did you have something to say there?
Oh, no. I was just going to concur with you.
Oh, good. All right, cool. and then we have the category of best indie game self-published. So there's also a few games here that I haven't heard of, but there are a few that I have. So we have Arctic Eggs, Another Crab's Treasure, Crow Country, Duck Detective, The Secret Salami. I mean, I don't even know what that is, and I feel like I got to play that game. I Am Your Beast, Little Kitty Big City, Riven, Tactical Breach Wizards, Tiny Glade, and UFO 50. So, Tommy, what do you think is going to bring home best indie game self-published here?
Well, honestly, it's got to be between Another Crab's Treasure and UFO 50. Or even okay. Tactical Breach Wizards. I know that one's... really humming right now, but Another Crab's Treasure was certainly a bit of a phenomenon when it came out and people loved that game. But right now, UFO 50, like if we're going to look at recency bias, I think UFO 50 is gotta be it, right? Because this game is so cool and ambitious, and I don't know, it really kind of captures the indie spirit, I think, in a lot of ways. So I would be hard pressed to think otherwise, but I think that Another Crab's Treasure or Tactical Breach Wizards would certainly be some pretty good winners here as well. But as it stands, I got to go UFO 50.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice, too. The only one that I actually think is kind of an underdog, and it came out more recently, is Tiny Glade. Mm-hmm. I have seen this game pop up quite a bit. It's a cozy game.
Oh, yeah.
Where, yes. Yeah, so it's got very interesting animations. You're kind of building your own sort of castle, sort of just like a very satisfying kind of game. From what I've seen from the gameplay, that is one that I think is kind of a sleeper here and could end up winning. I've seen nothing but good things about Tiny Glade. Personally, I would love if Another Crab's Treasure came out. That's a game I 100%ed, loved playing it, and you know, hoping for a second one or New Game Plus, something like that. would be cool. So that's kind of my personal favorite here, but I would not be surprised if Tiny Glade, UFO 50, or even I've heard Crow Country is very good. I haven't played it myself. So yeah, definitely some, you know, I feel like this category is a little less, you know, weighted with any of the games. It could be really any of them, I would say. But yeah, we'll see what happens here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Pretty exciting. I mean, even Baltro got nominated for best audio design.
Yeah.
And, I felt like there was something else that, oh, also PC game of the year. Animal yeah. Well, Baltro and UFO 50 and Tactical Breach Wizards. I mean, if you all, I mean, among Satisfactory and Frostpunk 2 were all nominated for best PC game of the year. It's like not surrounded by a lot of AAA stuff there. I mean, obviously, you know, AAA stuff comes out on everything. So it's like, you look at like the, as in the console game of the year category more so, but very, very cool. Also, I saw best early access game, Deep Rock Galactic Survivor and Hades 2 being mentioned here. So a lot of love for indie games in all kinds of categories for this award show. And honestly, yep. It's good to see.
Yeah, for sure. You know, definitely going to be interested in the results here. Also, something good to note is that the list is not complete yet in terms of categories. There's still Ultimate Game of the Year, Best Performer, and Best Supporting Performer. So apparently on October 23rd, those nominees will be revealed. So we might see Balotro in Ultimate Game of the Year, I would say. If it's nominated for PC Game of the Year and Best Indie Game, I feel like it has a chance to also show up for the Ultimate Game of the Year, but we'll see.
You're saying there's a chance. Now, another indie game news that actually I read when it came out, and then I meant to put it in the show notes, but then I just remembered I didn't, so I grabbed it. But Devolver Digital has a new publishing label for licensed indie games. So Devolver Digital had previously just published games like Reigns, Game of Thrones, Hellboy Web of Word, and John Wick Hex, if any of you remember those games. Yeah. And rather than continuing to release them under the Devolver like label, they created Big Fan. So you can follow them. I mean, we're not getting paid here, but on Twitter, it's at Big Fan Presents. We don't have any game announcements with it, but the whole purpose of this is going to be a brand new label giving developers license to create original game adaptations using the worlds and characters of iconic film, television, and comic properties. I also hope that includes book properties as well, not just comics, but it's pretty exciting because there's a lot of room to grow certain IPs in the indie world, and it's kind of cool to see this. You know, I mean, I know that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are getting some indie love and some kind of publishing right now. So I don't know. How do you feel about this?
I think this is awesome. Honestly, it gets me really excited because I feel like, you know, when you look at AAA games and, you know, the IPs there, I feel like a lot of fans really want, you know, specific things. They're like, why don't you try to do this? Why don't you try to do that? And for a lot of AAA studios, I feel like it's like very risky for them to try to do those things. But indie studios and developers are willing to take those risks. So the fact that they're going to be able to get access to, you know, these more well-known IPs and be able to try something different with them, I think is really cool. And actually, something that pops into my head is the Rogue Prince of Persia, for example, right? Different than any other Prince of Persia game that came out. Not that Prince of Persia is the biggest IP out there, but it's definitely one where I don't really associate it with being indie. But that game is technically an indie game because it's an indie developer. So I think this is really cool. I'd love to see kind of what, you know, what comes of it, you know, what kind of different genres maybe we're going to play with different IPs. But I really like this move by Devolver.
Yeah, it's exciting. And I don't know, what's the number one IP you'd like to see get tackled by this publishing label?
Let's see. Well, I guess I'll have to see what does – these are all IPs that Devolver owns or has licenses to. Is there a list here maybe of
I don't know. Perhaps? Today's announcement doesn't bring any new games, but the company website currently features a big coming soon tab. The label already has a few games in its library. While we don't know what they are cooking up, we do know some upcoming licensed games. These are from different labels, like Indiana Jones and the Great Circle and Marvel's Blade.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not Big Fan Games, though. So it'd be kind of interesting. So obviously they have worked with companies like Disney and Dark Horse Comics. So, I mean, if it's like Dark Horse Comics, holy smokes, like a Constantine game, right? I think that was Dark
Horse. Ooh, yeah.
I could be... No, that's not Dark Horse. Is it? No, that's not
Dark Horse. Let me see. Constantine?
No. It's a DC property.
No, it's DC. Yeah.
Yeah, I forget what the name of the comic label it was before.
There's the Umbrella Academy that's Dark Horse Comics, which is interesting. Hellboy, Avatar, The Witcher, Stranger Things, Star Wars. Some of these I don't recognize really. I think it would be really cool to get another take on Avatar, The Last Airbender. I feel like we really haven't had a good game or maybe any game that is Avatar. So it'd be interesting to get like a take on that. And maybe, I don't know what type of genre it would be. I don't know what would make the most sense with something like that. But I know that is a pretty large fan base and, you know, pretty loyal fan base, too, I would say, to the actual animated show. Mm-hmm. So it could be cool to get a game that's inspired by that.
Yeah. I mean, certainly people are going to be interested to get involved with Devolver, which is exciting. And kind of this movement to make a conscious effort to be like, hey, we're gonna make these games, which is pretty cool. And it was Vertigo was the name of the alternate DC publisher. So oops, it wasn't Dark Horse. But Constantine would be sick too for anybody who wants to make that game.
Yeah. I think the real answer here though is Frog. We want to see a new take on Frogger.
It's about time.
Yeah, and that's going to be a bit that we keep doing every episode. Just bring up Frogger whenever we can. But
I'm all in on the Frogger.
Yeah.
They call me Tommy Frogs back home. But
anyway, who are you?
We have a game to talk about, and it's called Kill Knight. People want to say Hell Knight. Now, what is Kill Knight? Kill Knight is an ultra responsive, arcade-inspired, isometric action shooter condemned to the eternal sufferance deep within the voids of an eldritch arena. You must wield an arsenal of devastating weaponry to obliterate swarms of otherworldly horrors and master the demon within. Pretty Ooh. Awesome setup. This is a straight-up isometric shooter. Really just a in-your-face, arcade-style shooting game with melee sword stuff going on as well. You hop right in, and I think a lot of... I'm going to save a little bit of this for the story part, but you hop right in, you do the tutorial. It's pretty straightforward. It does each thing. You get to choose, like, all right, I'm going to learn how to do dashing. I'm going to learn how to do shooting. I'm going to learn how to do melee. I'm going to learn how to do these different special abilities, yada, yada, yada. And then you go into the game. And the game is essentially you go into these little maps. Sometimes they're big. Sometimes they're not that big. The first map is pretty tight. And you're just kind of shooting on endless swarms and like trying to survive. And it is a very difficult gameplay experience. And I don't think it's necessarily punishing. It certainly feels rewarding once you start to get it. It makes you think about your actions, which I do like, because there's so many different levels to how you can fight these demons and the kind of order and sequencing of you doing these abilities, right? Because you can be shooting with your like fast gun, and while you're reloading, you can time a certain kind of same button, the trigger, to do like a special shot, right? Which is really cool. So you're like, okay, maybe I want to kind of mow down these enemies with the fast gun and then try to get that special shot off. Obviously, it takes some time to get used to the timing there, which was a little bit tough for me. But then you can also be like, all right, well, I'm getting overwhelmed. The heavy shot, because you have an alternate shot here, the heavy shot like mows down a bunch, but it's only a limited amount of ammo. You have to actually collect ammo for that as well. I guess you have to collect ammo for the fast shot as well. But
yeah, I'm not too sure. Yeah. I think it must be easier to get. But I don't know if you actually, I guess you maybe,
I don't know what the red things were. I guess maybe not. I don't think so, because it didn't make a point to point it out, because you also get the red things like super easily. But I think those are just points. But you got to hit enemies with melee attacks with your sword to get ammo for your heavy attacks. So you have to balance your assault on these enemies in a way that makes sense, because you can just do the fast shooting, like the quick shot, but it's really not that powerful, and you can't really like handle a ton of different enemies this way. So doing all of this, balancing, dodging these enemies and their kind of like their own weapons and what do you call them, projectiles and stuff like that, is a pretty difficult balance, but I think a fun one. Like if you're into this kind of arcade style game, I think that this is going to be rewarding for you. I think it doesn't require you to really like invest yourself in whatever else is going on in the game. Now I will talk about how I feel about the kind of world building and story elements here, but I think this is there's a lot here to probably enjoy, especially if you're a competitive person too, because there is a leaderboard, which is really, really neat. So that's all I can really say about the gameplay, because while it's kind of simple, it can be very deep, and you gotta be into this kind of thing though. Like you gotta be into this genre, which I do like this kind of genre, and I enjoyed the gameplay. So that's where I'm at with the gameplay. How about yourself?
So for me with this game, it was kind of a weird feeling, because it's a well-made game, right? Like there's a lot of systems, the game feels smooth. It's a well thought out game. But also on the flip side, I also felt like there was too much kind of going on, and maybe I'm not the target demographic for a game like this. There's just a lot of mechanics, a lot of different controls, and I was having trouble remembering, okay, what do I need to do here? Like what button does what, so that I could play smoothly. It's a game where like I want to be playing smoothly, if that makes sense. And I just kind of kept like fumbling, essentially. And it wasn't really something that I progressed a little bit where I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to get the hang of it. But then eventually I would kind of like lose, I'd start to panic, right? Because there'd just be so many enemies coming. I'm like, all right, I need to try to do this and hit this button and this button. So I almost kind of felt like, for me, the gameplay was almost like there were like too many ideas that they were trying to put into one. And I kind of felt like it took away from how smooth I wanted the game to be. Looking at how the game is, like if you're just looking at face value, you think, okay, this is like a take on like a Survivors like, but with like a lot, you know, like a twin stick shooter, Survivors like kind of game. You kind of think that's what it's going to be at the base level, but there's a lot of depth to it. There's like, you know, you go through the tutorial, there's like 10 different sort of mechanics that you have to learn with the game. And I kind of felt like it was just a little too much. Like I would have almost liked if the first level, the first actual level, they would like give you half the mechanics, be like, okay, learn this, get really good at like that, just these things. And then, hey, when you reach the second world, we're going to introduce you to some other things here. I kind of felt like they just threw a little too much at you. And there is a good training system that they have. So you can play the tutorials more and more. Maybe that's my fault. I should have played a little bit more. But I did think, you know, the game was had a lot of mechanics coming at you. And it is a hard game, you know, to really get a good combo going. You know, to get enough points to, as you can see on the screen right here, which, by the way, this gameplay is courtesy of Throneful on YouTube. So shout out to Throneful. But you can upgrade your equipment and things like that. But I did find that, like, even when I was doing, you know, kind of the short runs I was doing because I wasn't that good, it was really hard for me to gain enough currency in order to buy new equipment, which is what I was trying to do. I was like, all right, I'm not that good at this right now, but maybe if I can get like a different item, you know, that I can go in with, it'll make it a little bit easier for me. So this game has a good learning curve to it for sure. But like Tommy mentioned, you know, if this is your kind of game, it is a really well-made game. You know, it's got just a lot going on. It is very satisfying when you have those pockets. At least for me, I had those pockets where like everything was clicking and I was like, I'm hitting the right buttons, you know, like I'm doing it. So that felt really good. I do like the I call it the active reload system, because that is what it's called in Gears of War. They actually have a system where, like, when you reload, you can hit the reload button again at a certain point, and you get the reload done quicker. And then also in some of the Gears of War games, you also get a buff of damage as well. So they kind of have a similar system in this game. And it's a lot quicker though. So you need to be like right on top of it. But I do like, they give you the option when you go to reload, you can go and choose to melee attack instead. And you kind of get a bonus of melee attack. So you don't, every time the reload comes up, you don't have to feel pressure to try to get that active reload. You could be like, oh, I'm just going to melee attack right here and get some more of my heavy weapon ammo. So they give you a lot of variety with how you can play, which is great. And obviously, like you can see on the left side there, there's a kind of like quest. There's like plenty of things for you to try to get and strive for. But for me, I'm just not really into like a lot of games where like the combos matter, right? Like I'm not it reminds me a little bit, you know, like fighting games obviously are like that. I'm not like a gamer where I'm like trying to get the highest type of combo. I want to like take my time a little bit and try to figure things out. So for me, it was overwhelming, you know, playing this game. I kind of wish that the onboarding was a little bit slower. And like I said, you know, maybe the first world is kind of broken up with just a few mechanics, and then they introduce more the more you play. I think that would have helped me just with the way I play these sort of games. But again, it's also just a really well-made game. I played on PC. I know you played on Switch as well. So we'll talk about performance a little bit later, but on PC, like it just felt really smooth. I didn't have any issues with, the way the enemy pathing was or anything like that. It all was good. It was just like, I had trouble keeping up with everything. But I do agree. This is a very arcadey style game. Mm-hmm. I could see this in an arcade cabinet or like, you know, just something similar to an arcade cabinet at PAX or something like that. And whoever gets the highest score, you know, you can kind of compete with people on a leaderboard. That would be really cool. It's definitely got that vibe to it. But for me, it's one of those games where like I was getting frustrated because I felt like I was doing better. And then like once I died, I realized I had like basically the same score as the last like 10 runs I did. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just not good at this game. So it is for a very specific type of audience, but that audience I think is going to love this game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with this, like the mechanics being just like you have all of them and it feels very arcadey. This is clearly lovers of things like Tekken and, you know, those old kind of arcade cabinets where you just like you hop right in. Time Crisis even, right? You're just like, this is what you have. You can learn it if you want in this tutorial system, but if this was at a Dave and Buster's or something like that, you gotta hop right in and try to like, you know, really rock. So yeah, you gotta be into that for sure. Yeah. Now, story wise, I will say right out the gate, you start the game, you're in this world. I don't really know what it is. It's like super atmospheric and kind of Lovecraftian in a way where you're like this big, brutal, almost heavy metal-esque character, the Kill Knight, and you're kind of walking to the edge of this cliff, and like all these people are like cheering you on. They're like, yeah, he's gonna do it. He's gonna do the Kill Knight thing or whatever. And it's really cool. And you're like, holy smokes, this actually got me so hyped to play initially. And then they come up to your character right at the edge of the cliff, and they put the sword on your back, and you're like, all right, have fun. And then you jump off the cliff and into this hell, right? This like underworld where you're fighting these creatures. And then that's it with the story. I mean, for so far, I didn't get to play as much as I would like, but initially I was like, oh man, this is actually a game. This setup for this game is something that I had been itching for story-wise in a game. And it's a little bit unfortunate that it is a arcade style game, because you don't really, it sets the stage well, but you don't really get anything really fleshed out. So you're just like, I guess I'm just the Kill Knight in this really cool place. And then that's it. So I kind of feel like I got teased a little bit with the setup. And I was like, this is going to be so cool. I can't wait to see like how this world builds out. And then you're just like, this is not that kind of game. You just realize it pretty quickly. And you're just like, I was a little disappointed, but it is what it is. I can't really discount them, because that's not the kind of game they wanted to make, but this is an IP I would like to see in a different genre. I'll tell you that much. Yeah, that's pretty much where I was at with the story. It's not much of it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think I was surprised at the beginning of the game where it was showing those story elements. I was like, oh, this is really cool, because I had played the demo for Kill Knight back when it, I think one of the Steam Next Fest, one of them, and they didn't have any story elements that I remember. You just kind of hopped right into that arcade style shooting. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, they added all this stuff. It obviously, it has great, you know, we'll talk about the art, but like, it has great branding too. So I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Like that they're doing these sort of story elements in the beginning of the game. And then, yeah, it just kind of like falls off from there. And, you know, you're just kind of, every time you do a playthrough, it's not like there's like a different story element that you see, or you even get reminded of what that story element was in the beginning. You just kind of go right back into like the arena. And I would like to see a little bit more. I totally agree about seeing this as a different genre. I think Kill Knight would be an awesome Metroidvania or something like that, right? Or like a dungeon crawler sort of thing. It could be really cool. I didn't get really too far into the game either because of the difficulty. And that's also something that like, you can adjust the difficulty in the game, but it also is something that, I just wish was a little bit easier so I could see if there were more story elements in the game, because the opening is really hyped up and really cool. And Lady Fresh. And,
she had to grab something for work.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, for those on the video stream, there was Lady Fresh there. I think the story, you know, I hope that it's more fleshed out, like, the more you play. But based on the taste that I got of the game, it didn't really seem like that was something they were focusing on. They were just like, all right, we got to put something in the beginning here to just kind of set the stage a little bit and then just, like, let the gameplay take over from there. But totally agree. Like, I didn't even think about seeing this sort of this IP in a different genre. I think that would be really cool. But that is a totally different conversation, and obviously something that doesn't help the developers right now. But yeah, it's also a cool idea to think about.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I'm casually scrolling through their Twitter right now, and just seeing like a lot of the concept art from like before it came out is really neat. So they clearly had like just a really great idea of this world. I also saw something. They have like a Kill Knight cabinet that's hooked up to. I'll shoot it over to you after this, and then we can post it in the show notes. But I guess they must have brought it to a something, which really neat. I mean, it's got the Xbox controller, so it's not like a true arcade cabinet. I don't think it would be really hard to kind of edit. Or not edit, but like the the controls would be hard to throw onto an arcade cabinet, I think.
Yeah,
like in the normal way. But yeah, let's just get straight to the art, though, because that is another strong point of this game. Really, really, I mean, we kind of just talked a lot about it, but like the aesthetic, this kind of like brooding blacks and reds and like shadows playing along, like, you know, against the light from your gun and your different kinds of, you know, attacks, it really pops. And it's just a really, really fun game to look at. Honestly, it'd be a fun game to watch on a stream, I think, because it just looks so good and it's very exciting, you know, along with the gameplay. It's just like really intense, right? So it is such a, I don't know, I think it's a really, really neat looking game. It's not like super hyper realistic, right? You can definitely tell this almost like some PS2-esque graphics here. It kind of reminds me of almost, what's the castle? The Symphony of Night a little bit, Castlevania. Okay. And a lot of the vibe here is certainly influenced by some Castlevania stuff as well, because semi-medieval demons, devils, all this kind of crazy stuff. So not much to talk about other than it just looks really cool. It's just like, it's a game that, listen, if I saw this on the shelf at GameStop 10, 15 years ago, I gotta play that game. I don't care what it is. I've never watched a video. It wasn't in Nintendo Power. Wasn't in Game Informer. I gotta play whatever the heck that is. And they really nail it on the art. I really gotta say that. So, huge fan of the art.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, saying that like if you just saw this game on the shelf, you would just pick it up just because of how it looks. That's exactly how I felt about it too. It's just one of those games where they've just the art, like the marketing art for it, looks so amazing. And then the game itself lives up to that art that you see in the marketing, which doesn't always happen with a lot of indie games, right? Sometimes the marketing art is really great, and then the game itself doesn't look too great, or even vice versa, where you're like, oh man, I wish this game had better marketing. This one, it just looks so great. The fonts they use, those bright red colors, even the menus are really cool. They're kind of like this almost like glitchy style, almost like I kind of got like old school, like computer vibes from like the way the menus are set up. And then I'm even looking right now, like they also kind of have this, like, it's like a barely a fishbowl kind of like, or a fisheye kind of perspective on the menu. So it kind of gives a little bit of like 3D to the menus, which is really cool. So they just do a killer job. Ha, killer. There you go. Killer job with the art. They really do. And then, yeah, just the game itself, like the way they play with like the darkness, like you said, and like the neon colors, like that contrast between the two, is just super well done. And it's honestly something where I would love to see a co-op, like dungeon crawler Kill Knight game, something like that would just be so cool, because the enemy design is really great as well. They feel unique. Each enemy kind of almost attacks in a different way as well, so when you see that type of enemy, you know what type of attack is probably going to be coming. It's just a fantastic job with the art here for the game, and it's one of those indie games where it has its own style. Right. Like if I saw like a trailer for Kill Knight 2 before it announced that it was Kill Knight 2, I'd be like, oh, that's Kill Knight 2. Yeah. Like I they got their own kind of style with it, which is really hard to get right in a lot of games. You know, we mentioned, especially with sound, and we'll talk about the sound, but with sound and art for a lot of these indie games, it can be difficult to have your own personality with that. And this game succeeds in the art department when it comes to having its own personality. So really great job from their art team. I think it's actually the strongest point of the game is the art. Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, they just did like a top tier job. That's a certified fresh juice in the art for sure for me.
Amen. Amen. Now, yeah. In terms of the sound, I don't think there was anything really to write home about. It sounded fine, but it didn't really stick out to me. I think with this kind of vibe and aesthetic, I was hoping for something to really hit home there, if that makes sense. Like a real, and it kind of had this vibe, but it just didn't feel like outstanding to me, where I was like, I wanted a banger of like this cyberpunky death metal kind of thing going on. It shows up a little bit, but it just doesn't really like bloom, if that makes sense. But in terms of just kind of running around shooting, it all sounds good, right? It's not like a bad sounding game at all, but I think they had a real opportunity to kind of make a great soundtrack for this. And I think that it just kind of fell a little bit, and I think it could have really elevated the game even higher than it could have been. But not much else to say about that, but that's just kind of was what I was hoping for.
I can agree with you there. Yeah, I think the soundtrack is very arcadey in the way where, like, it's not like front and center. And it might also be because, you know, I was focusing so much on the gameplay side of things, all the different mechanics I need to learn, where, like, yeah, the sound kind of fell secondary. And, you know, there's some decent, like, sound effects. Like, I know, like, when you get damaged, it kind of makes a certain sound so that you know that you just got damaged. You don't really even need to look at your health bar. So they do a good job with that. But as far as like the overall soundtrack, I totally agree. I think just with the way the game looks, it just raises the bar for how it should sound. And it didn't really hit that for me. This is one of those games where like I was expecting the soundtrack to have its own full personality, and I'd be like, oh man, like the Kill Knight soundtrack was sick. Mm-hmm. You know, like I always think of Wizard with a Gun. That soundtrack was just so good. Like it didn't even matter. I mean, it mattered about the gameplay, but like I just love listening to that soundtrack and just looking at Kill Knight. I was expecting, yeah, I agree, like some cyberpunky, like dubsteppy, you know, heavy metal fusion sort of like soundtrack that just like, you know, that I would just start bobbing my head to, and that didn't really end up happening for me. It kind of, yeah, fell a little bit flat, I would say. But also, you know, I don't think it's a soundtrack that takes away from the game.
Certainly
at
not.
All.
No.
Yeah, which is a good thing. There's plenty of soundtracks we've reviewed where we're like, this is just awful. We have to mute this. It's not any of that. It's just like looking at the game, you kind of expect a little bit more out of the sound.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, performance wise, you played on PC. Did you have any issues? You said it ran great.
Yeah, it ran well. I just had, you know, I used my Steam Link too. I played on like the TV downstairs. That ran fine as well. You know, with it being such a kind of a fast paced game, everything ran pretty well. But I'm very curious on the Switch, how did it run?
My time with it was not bad at all. I didn't really run into many things. I mean, I think maybe the loading time was a little off when you boot it up. But other than that, I felt like it was totally fine. I will say the controls are very hard, like if you're playing like handheld, because the Joy-Cons are just a little tight, right? So
yeah,
it's definitely better if at least if you take out the Joy-Cons and play them in their weird docked mode. I think that's a little bit better, but yeah, yeah. I think it went totally fine. Now let's get to the rating. Our ratings are as follows. The highest of all tiers is Certified Fresh Juice. These are games like Halls of Torment, Balatro, Norb Apologue, A Steal. These are games like The Cub, Get on Sale. A lot of games fall into this category. You know, just not quite the greatest game, but hey, if it's on sale, you might want to check it out. Followed by Manager Special. These are not good, but there's maybe something there. Or if you're really into a certain genre, you might find it to be pretty good. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, a awful, awful game, which I think we've only each given one Spoiled Milk.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
So we don't get a lot of them.
Yeah, luckily, right? Yeah, for this game, I'm giving this an on sale. And I, you know, it's a $15 game. Like I said, it's a really well-made game. It's just for a very niche audience. And it's something where you know, if you're like me, if you're listening and you're kind of maybe a similar gamer to me, I would probably pick up this game for like $5, you know, and I'd be like, okay, like this is fun, you know, $5 to $10 maybe. But I just think it just throws so much out at throws a lot out at you, if that makes sense. And I honestly feel like they could fix it with an update too. Like this could potentially be a steal for me if they fixed, or I shouldn't say fixed, but if they followed my ideas of the onboarding, right? Of like introducing mechanics slowly over time rather than throwing them all at you. But it seems like, you know, kind of you touched on this, that like that's not how arcade games are. And this game is clearly like trying to be a modern arcade game. So yeah, I'm going to just give this an on sale with the potential to move up to a steal, but it's kind of like a right in the middle on sale for me. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I kind of tormented over this one because there's a lot good, there's a lot not so good for me. But to be honest, I think I have to give it like a low steal. And my reasons are, I think they accomplished what they set out to accomplish with this game, as well as get someone like me to be really interested in it, right? This is a game I think I will play more of. I kind of like the challenge of having to learn. I love arcade games, and I just kind of felt the itch. Like, okay. Even like when I was playing it, like I played it a little bit before we started recording, I was just like, I was like, I want to get back in and try to do better. And I think that's enough for me, along with this really awesome vibe and art style. I have to give it a low steal. I'm being generous. I think it could be a more of a high get on sale, but I'll give it a low steal. Give it the benefit of a doubt because I think I'm going to play it more. And it's a game like if we saw, like you mentioned, if we saw like some art or like a cutscene or something like that for like an upcoming game, and we would be like, "Oh, is that Kill Knight 2?" And then I think we'd both probably get a little hype because like there's a lot to be improved upon in this one, which I think would be really neat. So I don't know, low steal. Sorry.
Yeah. No, definitely agree. I think we're kind of on the same page with this one. And honestly, it's something I still recommend to the listeners. Like, I just feel like it's such a well made game that like. Even if you're on the fence about it, I say try it out. You know, I mean, Steam's got a refund policy.
Is there a demo?
There is a demo. Yeah. Try out the demo. Like I definitely think that there should be some listeners out there that really enjoy this game.
Amen. Now we do have some listener questions. We haven't really decided what we're going to play next week, but we'll see. First question comes from Bags. What is your favorite collectible currency in games, i.e. rings from Sonic or rupees from Zelda, for example?
This is a good one. This is a really good question because I'm going to try to choose something that isn't Sonic or Zelda because I feel like those are so satisfying, right? Mm-hmm. Like especially Zelda. I actually love Animal Crossing, getting bells. Yeah. Like, nothing better than selling a bunch of turnips, man, for like a crazy profit. So I guess I'll go with Animal Crossing. I love getting those bells.
So I'm playing a lot of Pokemon Fire Red on my emulator on my phone right now. And I know it's not really like a made up curve. I think it's a yen that they use in Pokemon, which I always was just like, when I was a kid, like I didn't know what yen was and I didn't know what exchange rates were. And I was like, holy smokes, things are Pokeball $600. That's so crazy. And I think just because it's kind of the freshest in my mind, but really rings. So I like rings from Sonic. I like them, but there's nothing. It just I get like flashbacks. Every time I hear the ding with all the rings, like you get hit and all the rings fly out. It's just, it gives me a little bit of anxiety. But rupees are pretty sick as well. But a classic Mario coin. I mean, that's the good right there. So
Yeah, even a star, right? Like, mm-hmm. is there anything better than like Super Mario Sunshine? You know, like getting the star,
or even geez, heart pieces in Zelda, or even just like the in Ocarina of Time, the first three stones that you have to get.
Those oh yeah,
look so yummy.
I know they do. I know
they're rocks, but
yeah, I've looked up like. Can I buy a set of those just to have them, you know, just, I just want to see what they look like IRL. And even if we're, I mean, the Dragon Balls, I mean, that's, I guess a technically a currency, you're exchanging them for something.
Yeah.
I wish, that's right? True. Like, there you go. The Dragon Balls are good too, but that's also from a show and not really a game, you know, or from a manga. I mean, I
played some good Dragon Ball games.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Capullo asks, you need to get a tattoo about indie games. What and where?
Oh, man. Well, that's a good question. What and where for indie games? Let me look at, I'm going to look at a bunch of games that we've reviewed here. It would be cool to get like a Joker from Baltro. Yeah. Maybe like, I don't know, on my thigh. Not my thigh, my calf, something like that. I don't know. I don't have any tattoos right now, so that would be cool to get something like that. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. What are you thinking, Tom?
I think there'd be, I mean, you can get some pretty cool ones out of Baltro. I mean, like all those Jokers are pretty sick, but I'm trying to think of like some classic indie games I played. I think the kind of symbol from Dead Cells is pretty sweet. Kind of a big fan of that. I have a hat with that on it. And then, oh man, I think, geez, like one of the little Enter the Gungeon bullet guys would look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Like, I don't know. There's some good ones. There's some good ones out there. But yeah, I think like the cleanest would be a Baltro Joker, like just off the dome right now. But even like the little weird blob you are in Animal Well would be freaking sick.
Right? Because, yeah, like, that'd be small cool.
And you could just throw it anywhere. But yeah, I would get it probably. I have all my tattoos are on my arms, so maybe somewhere in my arm. But also I'd be up for like a calf or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll have to do that, you know. We'll each get a Joker.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Sick. There we go. Yeah, we'll get five of us to do it, and we'll have all Jokers for we'll synergize with straights or something, some sort of hand. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean that might be a little like sending a weird signal, like straight pride or something like that.
True. Yeah, we'll do pair
or
flushes. I don't know, flush. Yeah.
Kmore asks, what do you think each power up from Mario would taste like? And not just mushroom.
Good question as well.
Power up. We got to bring them up.
I'm bringing up a list here.
Sam, I'm going to say the first thing that comes to my mind.
Okay. I will say, wow, there's a lot in here that I don't even like recognize. All right. We'll go with the one up mushroom.
Ooh. That one's green apple.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. What about the tanuki leaf?
That tastes like broccoli rabe.
Okay. All right. How about the mini mushroom? That's a blue one.
Ooh, mini mushroom. That tastes like one of the Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
The Marbits, I think they call them.
Yeah, they should do. Have they done a Mario themed Lucky Charms? They should.
I don't know if it was Lucky Charms, but there has to be some kind of.
Yeah. Something like that.
In the last 30 years or plus of, I guess longer, 40 years. Jesus.
Fireflower. What are you thinking?
Ooh, Fireflower. I think that one tastes a little bit like red jalapenos. So a little bit riper and spicier, but with like that kind of ripe sweetness as well.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. Let's see. We'll do one more. There's a lot in here that I don't really know. There's like so much, like Red Star, Rainbow Star. I was like, I don't even know what these are. Let's see. What about Yoshi? Huh? How does Yoshi taste?
Yoshi. Oh man. That's kind of interesting because there's some chicken-esque qualities to Yoshi, right?
Yeah.
Hind legs, kind of walks and like kind of bobs his head. But I think it's like turkey.
Okay.
Like I have to imagine like anything on the internet exists. There has to be some kind of fan art where like Mario is like the pilgrims and they're eating a Yoshi for Thanksgiving or something like that. It has to exist.
Well, if it doesn't, we'll just open up ChatGPT and be like, you got to make this image right now.
Right now. But yeah, that's thanks for the question, K-more.
Yeah, it's a good one.
R-Carp asks, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh, my go-to karaoke song. So my wife and I, for those that don't know, we do karaoke every now and then. You know, we fire up Spotify up on the TV because Spotify's got lyrics. So we're not really doing karaoke in terms of like, you know, there's no like they're not saying the lyrics or whatever. We do it. We kind of just like a sing along, I guess you could say. As far as a go to favorite karaoke song, it's hard to choose a favorite one. I love doing Free Fallin', Tom Petty. Okay.
All right.
That's a good one. You know, you just get something going with you. I love doing a little bit of everything from Dawes.
Oh, dude, that's a banger.
That's a good karaoke song. Just, you know, I don't do karaoke songs typically in like the traditional, like, you know, pop song, you know, whatever. Everyone's got to sing along or whatever. I just want songs with good lyrics that are fun to sing. So a little bit of everything by Dawes is a good one too, you know? So I don't know. Those are just top of my head, but there's a lot more.
That's a good
what about
one.
You, Tom?
I think, You May Be Crazy or You May Be Right by Billy Joel. Is mine. I said, may be right.
Yeah.
It's just just a rocker. I'm not going to continue to sing it, but.
No, go ahead, please.
No,
please.
We got one more question. It comes from MF98170 who asked, favorite/least favorite Halloween candy?
So my favorite candy is a Midnight Milky Way. I love Milky Ways. I know people, whenever I say Milky Ways, like my favorite candy bar, I get like people that hate on me because it's like, it's not that complicated of a candy bar, but it's like, it doesn't need to be.
But
you
it's
know?
Also not basic. It's not like you're saying a Hershey bar.
Yeah, or like a Three Musketeers or something, or just like nougat, you know. I like them too, but they're not my favorite. So I'd say that. And I'm also, I don't know, least favorite. I do like candy corn. Okay. All right? I'll put it out there. I know that's a big controversial thing. So that's not going to be my least favorite. I've never been a big Dots guy.
Okay.
I don't really like Dots. So I guess Dots would be the lowest one, but it's hard for me to choose. A candy that I like hate that I would get on Halloween. I mean, it's been years since I've done trick or treating, so I don't know what they're giving out these days, but I'll go with Midnight Milky Way number one, Dots, the last one. So there you go.
Number one's always for me Mounds. I'm a Mounds head.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's an underrated candy bar, I'd say.
Because Almond Joy's fine, but I like that dark chocolate with the.
Yeah.
Coconut. Oh man, Mounds is just so good. I love Mounds. And my least favorite, so I'm not a Sour Patch guy. I don't really like the kind of waxy stuff. I don't like Swedish Fish either. But I like gummies. But gummies are different than like Sour Patch and stuff like that. So I don't really like Mike and Ike's either. I will mess with Good and Plenty's. I like black licorice. So but it's Mounds all the way.
Okay.
All the way. So
now I was surprised you didn't say Reese's as your least favorite.
So I can't really say Reese's because like there have been times in my life where I've enjoyed a Reese's or Reese's.
Oh, okay.
But honestly, I just prefer chocolate and peanut butter separate, but equal, you know?
So, yeah, of course, of course.
But, like, I don't know. Like, to be honest, if I had to eat, if I was given the choice, it's like, you got to eat candy right now or else we're going to blow your brains out. This is a normal thing that happens to me. Swedish fish or Reese's cup? I'm going Reese's. I'll eat the Reese's.
Okay.
You can miss me with the Swedish fish. They can go swimming. So.
Damn. All right. Yeah. I'm a Swedish fish guy. I like anything gummy related, I'll eat. You know, but I do get the difference between like gummy bears and Swedish fish. There's definitely a difference with the gummy.
Yeah, because like one's texture. Like waxy and like it's stuck in the teeth, and I don't really like that as much.
Yeah,
like the flavor's fine. It's just the experience is not as fun.
Yeah, to me. What's the candy that has the stick that you like dip in the sugar?
Not Dippin' Dots.
No, whatever. Those suck. Whatever that is. That was always one I hated getting, now that I think about it.
What is that called? Pixie Sticks? No, not Pixie Sticks. That's just the straight-up sugar from that. Fun Dip.
Fun Dip, yeah. Fun Dip sucks. I don't like Fun Dip.
I like the sugar from the Fun Dip. I'm not a huge fan of the tasteless, wet spoon you have to like put your saliva on.
That's I'm just saying, what are we doing? We're dipping a sugar stick in the sugar, and that's all it is, you know? I mean, it just seems weird.
Yeah, not, I guess I'm not a huge fan, but yeah, miss me with the Swedish fish.
Yeah.
But thanks for the questions, folks. That's going to bring us to the rec room, and then we're going to say our goodbyes. What do you have to recommend? Because mine's a little kind of boring, but...
I am recommending actually a new app I recently started using. I haven't really started using it daily yet, but I just kind of started setting it up. It's called Habitica. So basically, it is gamifying your daily tasks and habits.
Okay.
As far as I know, it's like a free app. You create like a little kind of Pokemon looking character, like old school Pokemon character. You get like a little pet and you can unlock like weapons. Like I know, like because it's October right now, like I just unlocked like a demon mask. So all these tasks you do, like you can put in everything from like flossing your teeth, you know, to like taking out the trash, whatever it is. It could be even just like a new habit that you want to start of like working out or whatever it might be. You can, once you complete those, you just mark that they're done. You get like coins and XP and you level up your character. And then you can like, you know, have friends on there, obviously, and stuff like that. So you can kind of compete with like each other. But it's, I don't know, just kind of gamifying tasks and stuff. So I'm going to try it out. You know, I've used it for like a day or two so far and it's been kind of cool. But just kind of want to see, you know, if it helps with doing things. And I already have like a task list that I do of like, laundry, dishwasher, take my probiotics. Like it just like pops up daily anyway. And I'm like, why don't I just throw this in this app and I can at least level up a character when I'm doing it, right? I don't know. It could be kind of cool. I don't know. It's a cool looking app. So recommend it if you're looking to gamify your days a little bit.
I don't know, man. That's why I don't do tasks anymore. Too many sweats.
Yeah.
that does seem sweet and probably something I'm going to be looking into. I did remember actually what I wanted to recommend this week, and that is Minute Cryptic. It is a like a daily word game, right? You know, not unlike a Wordle or whatever. And basically Minute Cryptic, they don't have an app yet, but you can just go online and it gives you what do you call it? Like a puzzle, a word puzzle where something about the sentence that gives you, and you have to usually answer one letter or one word from the sentence it gives you. And it will basically give you in that sentence, it will give you the definition. You got to figure out what the definition is. And then you have to figure out what the wordplay is. And then also how to bring it all together. And
Jesus,
it is. So I'm going to give you an example of what
today I'm on is. It right now. The daily one.
You're on the daily one. Oh, I haven't even played this one yet. Let's play it together right now.
All right, let's do it.
So currently, as we're recording, it's Monday the 7th. This is Formerly Ripe Bananas Perish.
It's a six-letter word.
It's a six-letter word. So the wordplay here, I think, could be formally ripe, like whatever is formally ripe. So this could be rotten.
Okay.
Rotten bananas perish. Oh man, this is actually hard to do when you're like on the spot.
Now, what is, there's a thing on the bottom here that shows a few circles and it says like par.
So you can ask for a hint or show a letter.
Okay. So yeah, I think like rotten bananas perish.
So we can look at rotten to check answer. No, that's wrong. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show hint. The first hint is the definition part of the clue is perish. So that means this is going to mean whatever perish means. P-E-R-I-S-H.
Okay.
So that could be...
Oh, formerly ripe bananas. Formerly ripe bananas perish. So the word we're looking for as the definition of perish? Is that what that means?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So
formally means can be also known as X. So yes. X could be the beginning here. And then ripe bananas.
X potassium expat. No, that's not.
Maybe expire?
Expire?
It is expire. So I don't know why it's expire. So it's definitely X. So formally is X. And then ripe bananas.
Or like formerly ripe bananas have expired.
So perish means expire, right? So yeah. We got the X part from formerly ripe bananas.
Oh, there's an explanation video.
Yeah. I found it on YouTube. It gives you the explanation video, but I was trying to figure it out. I think it means because pyre, P-I-R-E, is an anagram of ripe. But I'm trying to figure out. Maybe bananas doesn't even matter here. But bananas.
Wait.
Bananas. So if you switch the B and the S, it's the same word, right? Like just backwards. So if you switch the P. No. I don't know. Are you watching the explanation?
I am watching it right now.
It's always this like Australian guy. Or somebody.
So yes. So basically you were right about the X. Formally is X. Mm-hmm. And then the word ripe is the word bananas is a hint that it is an anagram for the word ripe. Because if you do X ripe, you can just switch the P and the R and it turns into expire.
Yeah. So bananas is, I guess, because bananas, bananagrams.
Yeah.
Okay. We got there. But anyway, that's minute cryptic.
That is a tough one. That's tough. Yeah. That gets you thinking, though. That's good.
But I found it on, I found the explanations on TikTok. And then they're like, oh, we have like a thing. I was like, oh, you know what? These are kind of fun and weird.
Yeah.
But so that's minute cryptic. So
nice.
But,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a fun little brain exercise. But like that's like something kind of like a rule within, because it's almost like these are like really complex crossword clues.
Yeah.
So there's some crossword clues that I don't really understand. Like I wouldn't even put together bananagrams there. But anyway.
Yeah. It's cool. You know, I like that sort of wordplay sort of stuff. Like, you know, like Wordle was cool. you know, yeah. It influenced a lot of different things, but this is a really cool one. Yeah. Gets you really thinking.
Gets that brain moving. Now that's going to do it for the show, folks. You can continue to find me. Excuse me. Let me just burp real quick for y'all. Leaving it in. You can continue to find me on Twitter at FreshBudsPod. I have a podcast called Fresh and Buds, where I talk to members of the Flesh and Blood community. This week we should be having my friend Gary, aka Mr. Viz. And you can continue to find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you other than Mr. Beast's channel?
Yes. Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. I'm actually going to be doing a charity stream on October 18th for Gamers Outreach. They help kids in hospitals get access to games. So they reached out to me and asked if I would like to participate in their October kind of campaign that they have going on. So on October 18th, in 11 days, I'll be doing a charity stream. I'll be sure to remind the listeners on the next episode too.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going to do it, folks. Stay fresh and stay froggy out there. Kids.